Amen. You may be seated this morning, and if you'll take your Bibles and open up to Jonah again this morning.
You're good, Sharon.
Jonah chapter 3. We'll go ahead, sixth week in the book of Jonah. And this morning, as you're flipping your Bibles open or getting your phone app or whatever you're using this morning, as you get there, I want to ask you a question, okay? And I want you to think about the answer for a second. How many in the room this morning, you don't have to show by hands, just nod your head or something like that. How many of this morning in the room maybe felt like maybe you failed God in some way this week? Anybody? I'm looking around the room. Some folks' hands going up. Some are thinking about it. Maybe you just thought, maybe, you know what, maybe I just came up short in something in my faith this week. I know we get there in our lives. We have circumstances that come up. I know me personally, I feel like I just need to stay like right here. I think about in my own life, I think of those opportunities that God opens doors for me. And I know you've been there too. And he opens the door, he shows you something, and maybe you don't jump right in. And I think about those times, and I think about, you know, the consequences of that, but I also think, man, I just failed God. I failed his purpose. I failed the opportunity. I failed the blessings that would come from those opportunities. And the fact of the matter is that every person sitting in this room that believes in God today, we all face those same challenges. We all face those obstacles. We all face those self-inflicted wounds. Amen? Who inflicts them? Us, right? We're the ones saying no, but as you can see the screen here this morning, our God is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, and I could have somebody stand in the back of the room and just keep going, couldn't I? Okay? Whew. Aren't we glad? I know I am. As parents, have you ever told your kid, don't do that again? Well, maybe that's the problem. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that again. Well, here in Jonah, we've gotten to chapter 3, and we see in chapter 3 the God of second chances. Jonah's already denied God, ignored God, run from God, got to hang out in the fish, got thrown up by the fish. And now here we come to the story in Jonah chapter 3. I'm going to read this morning. I was going to make it all the way through verse 4. But by Thursday and Friday, as I was praying, we're going to stop at verse 3, okay? We're going to go 1, 2, and 3 this morning here. We see the God of second chances. We see a God that loves us enough to know that we are stubborn people. I guess that's the question I should ask this morning. Anybody in the room stubborn? Okay, now see, the reason I did that is because now I've got a full week of marriage counseling now, okay? Make a little extra on the side here, okay? Kids are poking their parents. I get it. We are stubborn. Jonah is stubborn, amen? But we see a loving God here. And as I read these verses, don't forget that God loves you enough to give us those second, those third, and those fourth opportunities today. Now here's the challenge though. What are we going to do with them? What are we going to do with them? We'll see this morning what Jonah does. It says in verse 1, it says, "And then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." Now, we understand this because we started way back in chapter 1 and it says the same thing, right? So it comes to him a second time, and it says in verse 2, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." There's no misconception here. Verse 3, "Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days to visit. Now, we see those verses there, and there's several things. There really could be about 12 things, honestly, that could pop out of those verses if we really look this morning. I'm not going to do that to you. Now, I've already done something I should never do as a preacher. In Sunday school this morning, I looked at the folks in the class, and I said, it's going to be a short message today. They all just looked at me and did what Jaden just did. She went, eyes real big, like, yeah, right, please, that's not going to happen. I should never do that. But looking at this, there's too many good stuff in here. And the first thing that we see here that we must understand is now Jonah is, again, he's on the shore, right? Okay. He's cleaning off at this point, and then we see something amazing happen here. It says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Isn't that awesome? You realize that's what's happening right now? The word of the Lord came to Jonah. So in other words, God said, listen, I don't care that you ran away. Maybe I do. I don't care that I had to discipline you. I don't. All those things are now water under the bridge, okay? Aren't we glad God's a God of second chances, but He's also a God that forgives and forgets? Okay? Whooshes it under the bridge there. Now, that's not like we are, though, is it? Oh, I forgive you. A month goes by. But don't you remember you did that? You ever done that? You ever been there? How many folks in the room are married? Raise your hand. Okay, you've been there. Okay, anyway, all right. Okay, listen, we've all been down that road. We've all done that. And aren't we glad that God looks at Jonah in this passage, in this story, and He doesn't give up on him? He says, I'm going to give you my word again. Guys, I cannot tell you how valuable that is. To serve a God that loves us enough to give us those second chances. Can you imagine how many of us would be in the room this morning if God didn't give second chances? Zero. You're right. No doubt about it. Zero. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So what God is doing right here is phenomenal. He is recommissioning Jonah for the great task that He's already given to him in the beginning. Amen? He's saying, listen, I am going to recommission you. I am recalling you to do this great task. When God could have said easily, He said, Jonah, I'm done with you, is what He could have done. And would we have read the story any differently or thought any differently of God? No. He could have said, Jonah, I'm done with you. I'm going to leave you in that puke on the shore with that fish bitten you out. I'm going to leave you right there. And I'm going to go get somebody that's not going to ignore me or run away from me or turn their back on me. I'm going to let you have to sit in your pity and learn your lesson. That's what God could have done. But He doesn't. He says, Jonah, I'm going to recommission you to this great task. And boy, what a task it was. Amen? Now see, this morning, maybe you're sitting in this room right now and you say, you know what? Maybe I did fail God this week. Maybe I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And you say, well, preacher, what am I supposed to do? We're going to get there in just a second. Because if you can sit here and say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and yet you have one of these in front of you. And where's that old comedian said, here's your sign. Here it is, okay? So God recommissions Jonah. He says, listen, I am going to lay it out for you a second time of what I want you to do. Now, here's the great thing about God. He could have also said, okay, Jonah, I'm recommissioning you. You already know what you should be doing, right? He could have left it at that. But this morning, we see such a graceful and loving God that not only does He recommission, but then He says, okay, Jonah, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. And He lays it out again, repeating chapter 1, almost to a cue. Okay? What does God say to Jonah? He says, Jonah, listen, I am going to recommission you to do something, which is to go and proclaim to Nineveh. It's that simple. Now, God could have left that out, and we could have read the story the same way, but God emphasizes something here. He says, Jonah, I'm going to give you the privilege to do something you do not deserve to do because you've run away from me. But here's what you have to do. And it requires more than just mere words, but it requires action. Church, I don't know how many times I read articles and I read stats and I read all these things. I shared some of those things in Sunday school this morning. Listen, I read all these things all the time, and people ask, well, why is the church dying? Well, it doesn't take rocket scientists, okay? Why is Christianity not growing anymore? Because we're getting commissioned by God. And we're getting messages from God, and we're getting directions from God. And guess what we're doing with it? Nothing. We're asking questions like, God, what am I supposed to do? We're supposed to be doing the same commission that He told Jonah. We are to go. You say, well, that seems difficult. How many this week, okay, here's, we'll make it real simple. You got to raise hands, okay? You ready? I know it's going to sound crazy. We're in church. You got to raise hands, okay? How many people got in their car this week and left their house? Oh, come on, raise them high. It's okay. Okay. Now wave them around. I just don't care. I'm just kidding. Okay, anyway. All right. Here's the fact of the matter, okay? Not to oversimplify God's message to us, but here it is. If you left your house this week, guess what? God puts you on a track on a mission field somewhere. I don't care if it was Walmart, H-E-B. Y'all know what H-E-B stands for? Y'all know it? It's a name. Howard E. Butts. Me and Ryan just laugh at that all the time. But anyway, yeah, isn't that crazy? I learned that this week. Anyway, or a couple weeks ago, somewhere in there. Anyway, that's way off topic, okay? But anyway, we had this commission, we had this opportunity, and God says, go. And we get in our cars this week, and we go to these different places, our schools, our work, our different these things, and then we say, God, I can't go. You're already going. So why don't we do the second half of what God commanded Jonah, which He commands you and I to do, which is what? Proclaim, tell. Right on, Riley. Proclaim it and to tell what He's done for you, what He's done for us, in a world that desperately needs to hear it. You say, well, everybody's Christians around me. Wake up. You hear me? Christianity, the world population, the U.S. makes up about 8 to 10% of the total Christian population in the world. You don't think there's a lot of lost folks around here? Again, I've shared the stat. I'll share it again. 70% of the people in this county, West Texas, consider themselves nuns. No religious affiliation. We say, we can't go and we can't proclaim. Why not? The field is right in front of us. Amen. God gives grace to us too, just like He did to Jonah. And He said, Jonah, you're going to go to Nineveh and you're going to proclaim the truth that I lay out before you. And you're going to do it with sincere and honest fashion because they're a people of great wickedness. Folks, I don't know of any other story in the Bible, and I'm sure there are many, but as we read this one today and the last 6 weeks and the weeks to come, boy, you read this and how can you not read it and say, boy, this looks just like America, does it not? Does it not? Would you agree this morning? So the question before we move on this morning is this, are we playing the Jonah card? Are we trying to run from God right now? Or are we going to take the opportunity of a second chance and say, God, I can do something magnificent here because You are my God. You've given me this privilege and this opportunity to go with this action, but the second part is to proclaim it. Now what is the proclaim part? Yes, it's action too, but what is it actually doing? Speak it! Our words matter, church. Do we understand that today? Do you understand your words matter? They do. What Jesus, what God is saying to Jonah, He's saying to us this morning, is you had the privilege and the opportunity to go speak life into lifeless people. But for most believers that sit in pews or chairs or whatever they sit in on Sunday morning, the idea of speaking life into someone never comes up during the week. That's a church thing. That's a Sunday school thing. Oh, that's the preacher's job. You ever heard those? Ever said them? So God commands and recommissions Jonah this second time. And he's saying to us this morning, just like to Jonah, well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to do something big? Are you going to do something amazing? Well, what do we see that Jonah does here? And here's the encouraging thing this morning. What does it say in verse 3? What does Jonah do? Y'all there? He obeyed. There it is. Okay. All right. Yes, I know. We're interactive here. It's okay. Jonah obeys. Now, you know, Jonah, you know, I'm thinking here. I wonder what would have happened if Jonah would have run the other way. You ever think about stuff like that? I guess Jonah would have been like 8 chapters long. I don't know. But what would have happened? Well, we just said God's the God of second, third, fourth. Some point, though, listen to me carefully right here. God loves you. But God is also sovereign, merciful, and just. Now, we can sit here all we want and feel good about ourselves and say God gives us 4th, 5th, and 6th chances. But I'm going to tell you, if you read the Bible long enough and you study it long enough, there is a cutoff. You hear me? Why is that? It's because He loves you. That's why. Because He is a God of just and He's God of mercy. And He's God of all those things. And yes, frankly, if we keep denying God the obedience that He deserves, He will, listen to me, find somebody that will do it. Do you want to be in that boat? I don't want to be in that boat. I don't want to be near the shore. I don't want to be anywhere near the water. That boat. And so in the scripture this morning, we see something phenomenal. The guy that ran away, the guy that slept on the boat, the guy that got thrown overboard, the guy that got swallowed and chewed on or whatever you want to say in the fish. He finally, now don't tell me this is not our story. He finally obeys. Why do we do it, church? Why do we run from God? What did that get Jonah to run from God? A lot of wasted time. A lot of wasted time. Why do we do it? So it says here in Scripture, Jonah obeys. Now, if we put ourselves in Jonah's shoes this morning, I can't help but think this way, but it's true. I imagine Jonah's probably thinking, I don't want to be on another boat again, right? I wonder if Jonah ever got back on a boat again. Did you think about that, you know? I wonder if Jonah ever went fishing again. Did you ever think about that kind of stuff? I mean, that's serious. Okay, all right, I'll move on. I'm thinking he probably didn't. I mean, he's like, I don't want anywhere near that. I'm vegetarian now, okay? But I imagine God is speaking to Jonah here, and I imagine he's probably in his mind like we do. He's probably going, I don't want to go through that again. So what's my option? I'm going this time. I'm obeying this time. I'm going to do something different this time. And I think that's the question that God's asking us today, just like Jonah. I don't think there's a person in this room this morning that can say, you know what? I had a perfect week. Perfect. I guess probably Darla was pretty close. No, I'm just kidding. You know, a perfect week, okay? Tom's like, yeah, she's married to me. But anyway, okay? Yeah, it was so right on. No, nobody can say that, okay? Nobody can do that. So if that's the case, and we know we had those moments and those times, and we know that God looks at us and He's still saying, I love you, I care about you, you know, the greatest image you ever have of thought when I became a Christian is God is always sitting there ready for that bear hug. How many of you like a good bear hug? Thank you, like the greatest person you ever got bear hug from. Maybe your granddad or your grandma or somebody like that. That's what God's doing. And He's saying, I'm waiting on you. I'm right here. And I still have a plan and a purpose for you. It doesn't matter that you failed. What matters is, are you going to get back up and do something now? Are you going to wallow around in pity? And God says to each one of you this morning, He said, yeah, you may have failed this week. You may have closed a door in my face that I opened for you. But this morning, He is saying to you, I will recommission you. I will give you more opportunities, but what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? The sad fact of the matter is this, is for a majority of believers in this country, church and commissioning and callings of God have become little more than a game. You hear me? Say, no, careful, preacher, Kyle. Careful. It has. You say, why do you say that? Because the only time we really proclaim it is when we go to church. Why? God says, I've laid a mission for you, a field out before you, and the harvest is there. He's telling Jonah, you're going to Nineveh. There's your field. And He looks at you and I this morning, and I don't care if you're as young as Luke and Brindley in this room, or McKinley, or you're as mature as Coach. He's looking at me with a square eye there. Okay, I don't care where you fall in that line. God still has a plan and a purpose for you. But what are we going to do with it? Jonah obeys. The question I would have for you is, are you going to obey? So what is that plan? Well, I mean, we could simplify it all the way down, can't we? I mean, the plan from God for you sitting right here in these pews today, you know what it is? To worship Him. There's your first step. To glorify Him. To not be hindered by anything or anybody around you, and just give Him praise. There's your first one. The second one, if you have the greatest gift of mankind, which is Jesus Christ, if you have that gift, it's just like Jonah. Here's the second part. You go and you open your mouth. Just like Jonah, we've been commissioned to do the same thing. We have not been commissioned to go live a good lifestyle. You ever heard that? Go live a great lifestyle and just maybe, you know, they're going to see you and see Jesus. No! Do it, but proclaim with your words that Jesus is Lord. He is the only way, as you learned in Sunday school. There is no excuse, amen? That's what we have to tell the world. And we have to be willing to plant that seed repeatedly sometimes. That's hard, church, is it not? You ever feel like, I've told that person 100 times? Amen. Maybe God wants 300 times. Just maybe in that process, He's trying to teach you more than you realize. And here's the cool thing about it. We get to go and proclaim just like Jonah did. Here's the cool thing about it. We're going to be blessing others, amen? But listen, for a life of experience in ministry, the person that gets the biggest blessing is you. You want to have a mountaintop experience, church? You want that? You want to have that experience, that feeling, that raw emotion that you could literally do anything at any time with anybody? Here's what you do. You go share life with a lifeless person. and watch God change them. It'll shake you to the core. It'll move you in such a way that quite frankly, if you genuinely do it, listen, you're going to want to do it more and more and more. When I became a Christian, July 7, 1993, the first thing that was told to me was, you know what I had to do? Very first thing I had to do. Finally gave myself to Christ. The first thing I was told I had to do is I had to go find and tell at least three individuals about that love and that gift that I just had gotten. Family, strangers, it didn't matter. It could have been find somebody I found on the beach that night. It didn't matter. That's the kind of excitement of going that we need in our churches again. So this morning, I say God gives us second, sometimes third chances. My question to you is simply this. I did good. It's a short message, but it's a strong message. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You going to go and proclaim? Are you going to commit one of the greatest sins I think we can read about in the Bible? You know what that is? Not murder. Not homosexuality. It's the sin of silence. The sin of the fact that I have this gift and I have this life, but I'm going to zip my lips. I'm not going to share it. To me, that's the greatest sin that we commit. So this morning is we're going to have a short time invitation. I'm going to ask Brian or those folks that are singing this morning. They're going to come up. And here's what I just want to challenge you to do, okay? I want you to leave encouraged this morning at the fact that God gives you second chances. Amen? He does. If you know that's the truth, you believe that, and you know that you may be screwed up this week or you failed somehow this week, know that God is trying to give you another opportunity, and He says, you can still go. You can leave this place right now and do it right now if it takes that. But this morning, you got to make sure that you're on the same page with God, and that's my challenge to you. You want to correct those failings? It starts when you bend your knee and you get on your face. Maybe this morning you say, well, Brother Mark, honestly, my failings weren't just one thing this week, but it's been a consistent thing for a long time. I'd love to pray with you. You say, well, God probably really doesn't want me back. God has never left you. You say, I've got to run back to God. No, you don't. You've got to turn around. He's right there. It always starts with us, though. God commanded Jonah, but Jonah had to make the response. Jonah had to obey. So what are we going to do this morning? Heavenly Father God, I thank you.